You might not be planning to sell your business right now, but if you make certain mistakes in how your business is structured and how you run it, there's a chance that you won't be able to sell the business at all in the future, even if you wanted to. In today's episode, you're going to learn the steps you can take now to avoid these mistakes and also some powerful ways to boost the value of your business, which is great for you now running the business and even better when you do decide to sell it. Stay tuned for today's episode. Welcome to the e-commerce scale podcast, where we help you take your six or seven figure e-commerce store to the next level. We'll interview industry experts about specific marketing and management techniques you can use in your established e-commerce store. For more information about today's episode and additional resources, visit ecommercescale.com. The podcast is brought to you by helpflow.net. HelpFlow provides a done-for-you live chat service for e-commerce stores. HelpFlow's team will actually chat directly with your website visitors while they browse your website to answer their questions and help them through the order process. HelpFlow works with a wide range of e-commerce stores and guarantees a strong ROI from their service. For more information about their live chat service, visit helpflow.net. That's HelpFlow.net. You work hard building a business and that makes it valuable, but certain things about how you run your business and certain parts of your business can have a huge impact on how valuable that business is, both, you know, to you running the business and your team, as well as to a, you know, potential buyer if you decide to sell in the future. And so addressing these types of mistakes now or getting these parts of your business really dialed in, even if you're not considering selling, can make your business stronger. And on today's episode, we have Joe Magnotti, who's an expert in this space. He's CEO of EmpireFlippers.com, which is an online marketplace for buying and selling high-quality websites. Empire Flippers has done over $5 million in business to date and is growing a lot. So he's seen a lot of great businesses. He's also seen bad businesses and really everything in between. So he has a unique perspective that you're going to be able to use to really see situations in your business today that you can really improve to, you know, boost the value of your business today and also if you sell it in the future. So Joe, before we get into some of the more specific, you know, things that you see, can you kind of set the stage for us on, you know, how serious this can affect the value of a business if you make some of the mistakes that you're going to talk about today, and also if you get some of the big wins in place? Like, how much does this have an effect on the value of a business?
Hey John, thanks. First of all, thanks for having me on. Preparing your business for sale is critical because it can be the difference not only in the valuation, but just in making it sellable. And that's what I think a lot of business owners don't understand. There are some basic guidelines and tips that if you don't follow, it might be impossible to sell your business. Never mind get the valuation that you're thinking.
Wow. So why don't we start with that then? Because that might be something that'll be super eye-opening to listeners. Like, what are some of the things that you've seen for an e-commerce business, or I guess any business if it would apply to e-commerce, that would make it unsellable?
Yeah, I would say one of the things is definitely not having your financials in place. And I know your audience is definitely a little more advanced and they should be doing this kind of stuff. But if they don't, having something like QuickBooks or Xero and having all your inventory tracked, all your transactions tracked, knowing where the refunds are coming in, if you have some sort of subscription base, knowing how long people stay, all of these kind of financials are going to be critical to a buyer. And if you don't know those numbers, you got to get those in line before you list for sale.
So does that mean having, you know, basic bookkeeping in place, or you mentioned a couple more, you know, deep metrics like customer lifetime value and you know, those types of things? Is it enough to just have your basic bookkeeping in place so that you can run those numbers later, or is it a problem if you don't really know, you know, exactly the value of different customers?
I think that you got to have at least the basic bookkeeping in place. The more bookkeeping that you have, the more valuable probably your business will be, or at least the better we'll be able to price your business. Because, you know, a lot of people, a lot of sellers come and they think that their business is worth $1 million. And then when we start diving into the financials, we find out it's not. And that's one of the worst things. So at least if we have the numbers available, an expert like myself can dive in there and come up with a reasonable price based on market conditions.
Perfect. That totally makes sense. So are there any other things that would make something unsellable or just would be a huge mistake that would become apparent when you start to go through that valuation process? Let's definitely hit those.
Yeah. I mean, one of the biggest things is going to be, especially a year out, you know, if you can start cleaning up all of what we call add back. So for those of you who don't know what add back is, it's something that's not critical to run the business. Maybe you took a family vacation and you put it on the business. And this is very common for small business owners to put a lot of expenses in the business. Obviously, you can lower your taxes that way, so on and so forth. But you want to keep your books as clean as possible, 6 months to a year out, so you don't have to do a lot of these add back things. The famous story is the computer that wind up costing you $10,000. So, you know, you buy a laptop for a couple of grand and you put that on the business books, and then you go to sell 6 months to a year later and the buyer says, "Hey, I value that computer at $10,000 and I want to knock $10,000 off the list price of the business." So, you get crazy stories like that.
Now, this is a little bit deeper of a question, but if you have your books organized where you can run P&Ls and run financials to have that stuff segmented differently, so that way you're still doing the add backs that you want to do for taxes, but you do have, you know, proper numbers in place so it doesn't mess up the core numbers. Does that still accomplish the goal? Or are you saying, you know, a year out from the business, make a clean split and just start, not running those expenses through the business?
Look, ideally it would be a clean split, but if you can't do that, then at least having things segmented correctly in your accounting program is going to be the best way to go. I understand, you know, there's a balancing act there, and you don't want to put yourself in a strange tax situation. So there's some push and pull, but as long as your bookkeeper is aware of how to categorize stuff correctly and your accountant's doing your taxes right, then you shouldn't have a problem.
Perfect. Totally makes sense. So is there anything else on the financial system side of things? Or should we move into kind of some of the other aspects of the business? Did we miss anything on financials?
No, I think we're good on financials. We can go ahead and talk about some of the processes that you should definitely have set up in your business before having it sold.
Awesome. Awesome. So why don't we stick with that timeline? I know that'll kind of help people see the flow of when this stuff matters. So, you know, 12 months out or pretty far out from selling the business, you know, how do you start to, I guess, audit what types of things you need to get, dialed in the business from a marketing perspective, operations, you know, all aspects of the business? Run us through some additional things that, you know, the listener should be aware of.
Yeah, we definitely suggest 12 to 6 months out that you're documenting processes. And for your more sophisticated owners out there, especially in an e-commerce business, you probably have a complex setup. And if you don't have these processes properly documented, using something like just basic stuff, Google Docs, a screencast, maybe even my favorite suite process, and you have all of this in writing, it makes it very difficult to sell the business, because even though they know maybe employees are included, teaching a new owner how to run the business can be difficult. And if you have that documentation in place and you've been using it for a while, it makes them feel the warm and fuzzy when they're about to buy a business.
So how deep does that need to go? Because I know with, you know, SOPs and documentation, you know, some people, myself included, go a little bit crazy in terms of, you know, documenting every single little detail. What are some examples of like the core things you need to have documented in your processes?
Yeah, I mean, any sort of customer service process, any process that a low-level, entry-level employee is doing, absolutely that needs to be documented. And I think one of the reasons why is because buyers are afraid when they buy a business that they're going to lose employees. And if they need to hire new ones and train new ones, they want that documentation in place. They know that, you know, perhaps they can have you on board or ping you on a regular basis to do some of the high-level stuff, but low-level stuff, you might, as the business owner, not even remember how to do it, never mind be able to train a new person.
Perfect. Yeah, that totally makes sense. So just having a way you do business and, you know, being able to communicate that other than just having it in your head, I think is definitely something that makes sense. What about on like the marketing side or how you run your business or how you grow your business, I guess? What are some things that, you know, you would consider a mistake that should kind of be addressed in advance on the marketing and growth side of a business?
Yeah, you know, we start to say that at least 6 months out, you start to drop unnecessary expenses. And that includes any exploratory marketing you might be doing or other paid traffic strategies that are not working. Try to drop those because, you know, most online businesses are the sales price is based on their profitability. And if you have a bunch of unprofitable marketing funnels that you were testing out, then buyers are going to use that against you when it comes down to a negotiation on the sales price. So you don't want to have that kind of stuff. And at the same time, you want to maximize your profitable funnels and make sure that you're getting the most out of those so that when we do come up with a price and determine what's right, we know that we're getting maximum value for your business.
What about, you know, diversification or, you know, unclear results where, you know, it may be producing results, but it's kind of hard to prove the results of certain marketing campaigns? You know, what are some things that a business should do to basically document that it's a safe business from a growth perspective? Because we all know about, you know, Google slaps and SEO, and, you know, it's great when you're ranked, but if those rankings go away and that's your core source of traffic, that's not good. What are some things that you see businesses do that, you know, the listener might be able to get a little more dialed in from a growth and safety perspective of the growth of a business?
Yeah, when you have larger businesses, like I'm sure most of your audience members own, a diversified approach is definitely the best way to get customers, and buyers are going to see that as well. So, you know, if you have 100% paid traffic or 100% organic traffic, it's risky no matter what in these bigger businesses. So having some sort of mixture in there, even if, you know, one is a little bit less of an ROI than the other, that's fine. But what I was trying to say before is you don't want any broken funnels when you're selling a business, because it's a head scratcher for buyers. They don't understand why you would be dumping money into something that's in the negative.
Okay. So it's a mix of like ideally having a diversified approach, but at least making sure that, you know, you're not putting money into things that don't have a clear result, right?
Exactly.
Cool. What are some things that you see people do in terms of like email lists and customer lists and things like that? You know, especially for an e-commerce business, you know, we're getting email addresses, we're getting a customer list built up. What are some things that a business should do to kind of make that list as valuable as possible when the sale finally happens?
I can tell you one thing not to do, John. Don't have a fire sale. We see some e-commerce businesses do this when they're ready to sell. They want to unload their inventory, especially if they have some dead inventory that they've been unable to move, and they know that maybe the buyer's not going to want to pick it up at full retail price or even wholesale price. Maybe they have to sell it at a loss. So they start doing these fire sales, but that burns through your list, and you know that can cause a lot of unsubscribes and just makes your business less valuable because you know, even sales have spiked. A lot of those came through, you know, unvaluable sales at a loss, those kind of things. So don't do that kind of stuff when you're preparing for a sale, you know, 6 to 3 months out. I would definitely say be careful with your list. Make sure you're using it the right way and you are, you know, being careful of what kind of messages you're sending to your subscribers.
Perfect. Is there anything on the technology side that you see businesses, you know, drop the ball with as they get things ready for a sale in terms of, you know, what the website's built on or keeping things up to date with hosting or just anything on the tech side that might be a surprise to a listener when they actually move to sell a business?
Yeah, I'm not sure it's that much of a surprise, but look, buyers love hosted platforms. And in the e-commerce world, that means Shopify and BigCommerce. I mean, I know that a lot of you guys like these other carts out there, and I'm sure that they have their valuable assets. But from a broker's perspective and a sales perspective, those platforms have the biggest return for us. We see that because it's so easy to run them. You know, it's like with content sites, WordPress. Yeah, you can use a bunch of other types of tools out there, but most buyers know WordPress, they know Shopify, they know BigCommerce. And when they see those things, they feel like it's a lot more of a reliable business.
So that might be something that for a listener that, you know, isn't necessarily looking to sell in the next 12 months, but knows, you know, someday they may want to exit the business. If they're choosing between, you know, a Magento or another, you know, self-hosted cart and, you know, something like a Shopify or BigCommerce, should that be enough of a reason to swing to a hosted platform as long as like technologically it can do what they need to do? Or would you still recommend like, you know, potentially changing that down the line? You know, when do you make that call?
Yeah, I would definitely like to see that done 12 months out in case there's any problems. You know, we can make minor adjustments. But yeah, it's something that should be done before the sale.
Yep. Yeah, that's not necessarily what I meant. I don't want to see somebody, you know, change the whole platform before, but I guess more of what I'm going for there is, you know, if you're on the fence between platforms and you don't really have a great reason to choose a self-hosted platform, then it may make sense to go for something like a Shopify or BigCommerce if there's not a good reason not to, because it can only help you, right?
It can only help you. And I tell you, Shopify is the 1,000-pound gorilla in the room, even over BigCommerce. It's just from a back-end admin situation. I mean, I'll have to tell your listeners, it's just so easy to manage products and customers, whatnot. You know, when we get those kind of sites in, they sell very quickly because of the platform. And when we have some sort of custom Joomla or Magento setup, it takes a lot more time to sell the business and to find the right buyer who's familiar with that platform.
That makes sense. So we've hit on some of the big mistakes. You mentioned, you know, having proper financials in place. We talked about ad backs, a number of other things. I think these are good things for the listener to say, like, you know, I knew I needed to get that, you know, particular process dialed in my business. And, you know, hopefully this is an opportunity to like really quantify that really matters in a business because it can affect you down the line. Apart from mistakes, what are some, you know, maybe one or two things that set businesses in your marketplace apart where like it becomes a buying frenzy or it's a highly valuable business because of a few things that particular business just got right as they built that business? What are some of the big wins that a listener, you know, might be able to consider integrating into their business, even if they're not planning on selling anytime soon?
Before we get to that, I do want to focus on two more mistakes I do think that I see a lot of e-commerce businesses doing. And that's number one, you know, the squirrel syndrome, right? The shiny new object syndrome where they think, oh, I'm going to sell this new product even though I have no experience doing it. I don't know if it's going to be profitable. And it winds up being a dud and being very distracting for them. Don't do that when you're in thinking of selling your business at least 6 months out, because you want to make sure that all of your products have a well-defined profit margin and a good sales history. So that's number one. And then when you do list your business, make sure to continue to run your business normally on the day-to-day operations. Now, I know most of your audience members probably have a staff in place to help them run their business, but you know, even if it just takes a couple of hours a week, don't neglect that just because you say, hey, it's going to be sold. It might take a while to sell it. And I think continuing to run your business, that's one of the biggest failures we see with e-commerce businesses, is that the owner becomes an absentee owner and things start to fall off and buyers, you know, especially in the e-commerce world, they don't want to buy declining assets. So if you kind of walk away from your business during the listing process, it can be an issue for being sold.
That makes sense. Yeah, keeping that focus, even though, you know, you're seeing, you know, the light at the end of the tunnel almost, I think would definitely make a big difference. So I think that's definitely good.
Yeah, in terms of, you know, what are the great things that we see for e-commerce businesses to make it more valuable? I mean, I think it's being open to deals. A lot of e-commerce businesses have many moving parts and can be complex businesses to sell. So, you know, if we value your business at $1 million, you have to expect that someone's not going to just hand you the check tomorrow and, you know, walk away with your business. It's most likely going to be some sort of earnout scenario where you get, you know, as much as 70 or 80% upfront, but there's some holdback and there is some sort of milestone or parameter for that where you get the rest based on training, maybe based on some earnings, that sort of thing. And, you know, we have a lot of people that come to us and are adamant about they won't take any earnouts. And then after having it listed for 6 months or 8 months, they say, hey, maybe that wasn't such a great idea. I'm open to earnouts now. So being open from the beginning might get more offers in the door and, you know, serious buyers that we can work with.
Perfect. That totally makes sense. So kind of just being open to, you know, different options as you sell. And I think, you know, as we wrap things up, that's something that, you know, working with a company like Empire Flippers or professionals that have done this before, that's what's going to help you make sure you get those things right and at least, you know, be aware of these things. So one of the things we're going to add in the show notes, Joe, is linking people over to Empire Flippers. I know you've got the valuation tool, very active blog, very active podcast. Apart from those, are there any other resources that, you know, you would recommend for a business that just wants to make sure that they have, you know, different aspects of their business dialed in as they lead up to potentially selling their business in the future? Anything else you would recommend looking into?
Yeah, I mean, I would say look at our other resources, Facebook page, our Twitter, our you know, all our other social media that's out there is definitely very active in talking about that. But if you want to reach out to us, I'm absolutely willing to sit down with you for 15 or 30 minutes and go through your business and try to help you prepare for what will happen in the future. I do a lot of that kind of free consulting. You know, it's part of our job to make sure that you're going to have a strong business when it comes down to list.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, I know the audience will definitely appreciate that. We're going to be wrapping up some things in the show notes and we're going to put together an action guide. So we'll basically be recapping how they can implement a lot of this stuff directly in their business. But really appreciate the time today, Joe. Thank you so much.
No problem.
In the action guide for this episode, we want to recap what you can do to implement the lessons from this episode. Whether you're selling your business soon or not, there's a number of things that you need to do to make sure that that business is valuable to you if you do decide to sell. And if you make certain mistakes that Joe talked about, you may not be able to sell the business at all, even if you wanted to. There's also some things you can do to boost the value of your business when you do decide to sell. So implementing these things now can be a big win for your business, whether you're ready to sell soon or not. The first thing Joe mentioned is have organized finances. Make sure you're tracking revenue, expenses, margin, profit. Make sure you're tracking the dollars of your business. You can use a system like QuickBooks or Xero, which is X-E-R-O. But there's a number of different tools that you can use to track your finances. But the bottom line is you want to make sure that you are tracking that so you know the numbers of your business. And when you do decide to sell, you can communicate those numbers to somebody else. Second thing Joe mentioned is document how the business operates. Don't just run the business based on experience in your head or experience in, you know, different team members' heads. Make sure there's a way that you run the business and that that way of running the business is written down and documented somewhere. Joe talked about using Google Docs or sweetprocess.com. That's S-W-E-E-T. That's definitely a good resource you can use. Main thing you want to do is just make sure that you do document your processes and how the business operates, how you do order processing, refunds, etc., all the different aspects of the business, especially ones that run with the team, and make sure that's done in a way where you can easily share it with the team and ideally collaborate with team members on actually documenting everything. The next thing that Joe mentioned is an advantage that you can do to make sure that your business is as valuable as possible. Make sure that your marketing is effective and your marketing is trackable. When you're running a marketing campaign, clearly define how you track the ROI of that campaign and make sure that the campaigns are performing well. I mean, this is something you want to make sure you have in place so that you can basically know that your marketing initiatives are working well. But it's also something that when you decide to sell in the future, these marketing campaigns become an asset to the sale. It's not an asset, I guess, technically from a technical term, but they become of huge value to the buyer to see that, wow, that marketing campaign has an awesome ROI. This other one does also. Becomes a lot better for you as the seller to say, here's how the business runs and here's how we generate sales and here's how we know that these campaigns are working. The last thing that Joe mentioned that we wanted to share in the action guide is using a hosted shopping cart like Shopify or BigCommerce. The benefit of using a hosted shopping cart rather than, you know, a proprietary or, you know, otherwise old school, you know, self-hosted platform is that they are very, very common. Many buyers know how to use Shopify and BigCommerce and the other popular hosted platforms. And that's going to put you in a position where more people are going to be comfortable buying your business. They're not going to be scared by the platform that you use, and they're not going to feel like that platform has a steep learning curve or that it's a risky part of the sale if the server crashes or something. So if you have a choice, use a hosted shopping cart. That's something to definitely consider now in your business, well before you ever plan to sell. If you want to learn more, you can listen to the full episode and see the detailed blog post and action guide at ecommercescale.com. We've also summarized all the resources that Joe shared there. Thanks so much for listening. Thanks for listening to the E-Commerce Scale podcast. For more information about today's episode and additional resources you can use to take your six or seven figure e-commerce store to the next level, visit ecommercescale.com. Once again, that's ecommercescale.com. Today's episode was brought to you by helpflow.net. To learn more about HelpFlow's done-for-you live chat service for e-commerce stores, visit helpflow.net. That's HelpFlow.net.